Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tony, hour two. Let's go. Hour two of three, I'm sorry, of four tonight. We are going until 10 o'clock. Full boat show because the Cubs game got rained out. It will be part of a doubleheader on July 21st. We will have both of those games for you here on The Score. I had a lot of free time on my hands this weekend because there was not a lot of baseball to watch, which we were discussing in the first hour of the show. We'll discuss it more with our guests that are going to be joining us, Scott Merkin, is going to join us to talk about what the White Sox did over the last 3 days because they didn't play. Now they're out in Oakland. They play tonight. We'll talk with Kelly Krull, who I guess Kelly went from going to go cover the Cubs game today to doing beer money. So we'll talk to her at 8 o'clock about that. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll talk with Mark Gonzalez of the Tribune about the Cubs. So we got a lot of baseball coverage coming up on the show. There's also a couple other things that I want to, if you didn't get a chance to hear, want to go back to, including a portion of my interview with Frank Mir that we rolled out on Friday, but you might not have had an opportunity to check it out. I'm not going to play the whole thing for you, but there's a portion of it that I think is great, especially if you're someone who enjoys martial arts. I think that you'll really, really enjoy this portion of the interview. With all the time that I had on my hands this weekend, it gave me a chance to kind of catch up on the DVR a little bit. I'm sad I didn't get to Netflix as much as I would have liked this week because I just started watching Punisher, and it's great. I've made it through the first three episodes, and I mean, wow, it's a breathtaking show, and I really, really enjoy it. But I didn't have a chance to do that. What I did do is kind of clean out the DVR shows. I was watching Suits because I like the show Suits. Don't hate. White Sox fan Meghan Markle, I wanted to make sure I was representing and watching her show. But it had been sitting on my DVR for a few days, the HBO special that they did in conjunction with WWE, which is important, on Andre the Giant. It's really well done. I mean, I didn't feel like I got cheated in the 90 minutes that I was watching it. But it's a very sad story. And honestly, like if you listen to the score of the documentary, it's already kind of like it lets you know that this is a sad story. And whenever you're talking about someone that dies young, Andre was 46 when he passed away. It can be, you know, a little disheartening. That being said, I found out some stuff that I knew, some stuff that I didn't know. It was enjoyable to hear about his life and all of the barnstorming that he was doing and the history of the wrestling territories. I thought was cool on how you could be a different person in a different territory and how the WWE, which back then was the WWF, how it consolidated power for the most part and then just took over everything. And I'm not sure that wrestling is better off because of it, but that's another story for another day. It's a sad story, but I do think it's something that even people who don't necessarily like wrestling can get into. And you understand how he was bigger than life and that he seemed like he was a really nice person. You know, that he was a really nice person And here he is trapped in this giant body. And he went on to... He went on to entertain people and decided, okay, I'm in this big body. I can go out there and I can be a part of something that's great. The interviews, I don't know if there were enough for me, but it was cool seeing, you know, Mean Gene Okerlund is a big part of this and they have him there. Anytime now that I see Hogan, for the most part, I get annoyed. And what really annoyed me, because Tanny was talking about it, like he and I were talking about it because he had seen it too. What annoys me is that Hogan was such a bad guy. And I don't mean the stuff that happens when Hulk Hogan isn't, when he's Terry Bollea. I mean, as a guy, one of the things that he kept talking about was how important it was that Andre put people over. And if you're not familiar with some of the wrestling vernacular, putting someone over is making them look good in the ring. When you're supposed to go out there and do a job, you're supposed to sell, you know, in a lot of cases, guys aren't necessarily getting hit, but you're supposed to sell that you're getting hit. It's one of my issues with the WWE now. When I tune in, I feel like the men's division does a terrible job of putting each other over. I think the women's division is much better than that. But here's Hogan talking about Andre putting people over, and Hogan like never put anyone over. You know, and it just, every time I see him interviewed, I feel a little dirty. And when you watch this, Vince is talking about how he kind of knew Andre shouldn't have been wrestling, but he justified it at the end of his life. But he justified it by, oh, well, you know, we gave him the option and he wanted to go out there and wrestle when he knew he was in terrible shape. WrestleMania 3 is a big turning point, I think, for any wrestling fan. You know, I'm sitting there talking with my wife about this because she grew up watching wrestling and liking it. And I was talking about the importance of WrestleMania 3. And she asked me if, you know, was I rooting for Hogan? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, as a kid when WrestleMania 3 had, like, you're believing everything then. You don't know what's going on. Like, I didn't have a dislike for Hulk Hogan then, like I do now. You say your prayers, eat your vitamins, Hulkamaniacs. All that stuff. But that was a huge moment. The body slam of Andre the Giant. Like, that's a huge moment. And Andre, even with failed health, you know, is out there doing what he can to put him over. So it's sad. It's sad, but I will tell you, I think that if you want to be in your feelings about it, it's good. I think that it's okay for us to not have everything just be completely happy. The stories of him drinking were both troubling and hysterical. I've heard people tell the stories, and I think that everyone has probably, if you're into wrestling at all, you've heard like some of the legendary drinking stories of, you know, they had to get him a barrel of beer that he's not going to be satisfied with a six pack. And really, like, truly think about it. A can of beer in his hands looks like a juice box in ours. Like, so small, so insignificant. But I think that it's very well made, and WWE is very slick in what they want. I always like seeing, you know what makes me laugh? It makes me laugh that Shane McMahon is completely gray and there are like no grays on Vince. Like, Shane is really like embraced it. Like, I'm gonna get old. I'm probably gonna get fat and I'm just gonna move on with it. Vince is like, nope, genetic jackhammer. Give me those steroids. or growth hormone or whatever he might be taking. And I always laugh because Shane McMahon looks like Jeff Dickerson. Like every time, I'm like, Shane O'Mac. He knows. Dickerson will fly off the cage, though. He'll still do it. Remember when Shane had the Greenwich boys? You can bring your Greenwich boys. Anyway, if you saw it, you want to talk a little bit about it, we got some time to do that. 312-644-6767 is the number. Hey, Mark, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. What's on your mind?
Right. I watched WrestleMania 3. I got the video of it. I was hoping, you know, that Andre the Giant was going to beat Hulk Hogan, but we know that wasn't going to happen. But growing up, I used to watch Bob Luce Wrestling, and they used to wrestle Sunday nights at the amphitheater at 43rd and Halstead there. And my hero was Chicago South side hero, Yukon Moose Cholak. He was 7'4" and weighed 450 pounds. But I think he'd have been a decent opponent if you could have kind of had a time machine and about 15 years of separation and had the two match up. That would have been the greatest match of all time. Andre the Giant against Chicago South side, Yukon Moose Cholak.
All right, I appreciate the phone call. I'm not trying to make, like, matches. I just wanted to kind of talk a little bit about the documentary. Some of the texts that have rolled in, 815, I loved hearing how Andre hated the Macho Man. That was never, like, fully explained, though. That was the, like, I get it, and it kind of went along with the bit with Andre the Giant and Elizabeth, but it was never, like, fully explained why he hated it. Because it seemed like, from the way that they had set up the story, that if you kind of kissed the ring and you were respectful to Andre, then he would take care of you in the ring. And it seemed like, from what they said, Macho Man was doing that, asking him, you know, how things were going to go and that sort of stuff. Seeing that he almost killed Big John Studd in the ring was, something. You forget how big Big John Studd was. Someone texted in and said, here it is, 630 texter. I like the documentary, but it was extremely redundant about how larger than life his persona was. They oversell it and explain. I think that you have to realize that this is not something that is just for us in wrestling. Those of us who grew up watching wrestling, obviously, we're going to watch it no matter what. But if there's a chance that you're reaching out to someone else, you need to explain why he was a phenomenon. You have to explain it. And you have to use it. And the visuals are incredible. Like, I don't know about you. Well, actually, I do because you texted in. But seeing the juxtaposition of him and regular people, I think that's a necessary evil of telling the story. The one good thing I got from Hogan was Hogan actually making the point of how difficult it was for Andre the Giant to travel. And I never really thought of it in terms like that of he's on a 14-hour plane ride to Japan. How does Andre the Giant go to the bathroom? Like, it never even crossed my mind. That just must have been terrible for him. No matter what mode of transportation he was using, there was almost nothing that was going to be adequate to get him from point A to point B. Davenport, Iowa, and Corey. Hey, Corey, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Hey, I checked out this Andre the Giant deal, and I thought it was much better. And not as hyped as the Ric Flair one. I was a big wrestling fan a long time ago. I kind of got away from it. But I took a lot. You mentioned the traveling part. That was my biggest thing. I think I learned a lot about this guy and just how kind he was and the type of person he was and And I was a Hulkamaniac and all of that. But, you know, after this one, this dude was real. I mean, he was just an all-around good guy. And the problems that he went through, it's just amazing. And like you said, the airplanes, the car rides, the bathrooms, just daily life and what he had to go through. And I just think this is much better than the Ric Flair. The Ric Flair, you know about his destruction. And yeah, you could talk about Andre the Giant and his drinking. But Ric Flair was, he was not a good dude.
I think that the difference ends up being, and it's, we view Ric Flair as his persona. And I think to a large degree, he lived as his persona, or he lives as his persona a lot. So when we see Ric Flair telling drinking stories, it comes across as, well, here's a guy who's out here, you know, partying and bragging about it. When really there's a similarity to Andre the Giant, where you have a guy that's self-medicating. Now, the pain might not be physical, although with wrestling and doing 200 shows a year, it probably is. With Andre the Giant, it's easier for us to believe that he was trying to dull the pain that he was in.
Yeah, and that's somebody that big, I'm sure circulation is having a trouble getting down to the feet.
Yep. So you have all sorts of, and with Ric Flair, we probably don't view it through the same lens. We see it as he brought this upon himself instead of you work in a business that is dangerous to your body. It also, with Hogan again, it's a business that plays games with your mind. And you had someone that didn't understand how to better take care of themselves. So he starts self-medicating with alcohol and probably hides it as, well, we're just out here having a good time. Darian and Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on the Score.
Hi, Lawrence. Great topic. I watched the documentary. A lot of the stuff I had seen in other documentaries, the thing I didn't see and kind of threw me was that he would turn down any kind of medical help, wouldn't go see a doctor. And it kind of surprises me that they would allow him to wrestle without getting any kind of medical care. And I realize, which goes to your point of basically, you know, Vince was going to put him out there regardless and didn't care.
Well, that's the story that I think that Vince is trying to whitewash. The more and more these stories come out, I think that's happening. These guys, and I get frustrated when people say it's fake, it's scripted. But I don't know if you've ever had the chance to even touch one of the ring ropes. It's not like a rubber band, even though guys bounce off of it like that. It's hard. Like, that itself is hard on you. Yes, the wrestling mat itself gives a little bit. But if you're falling from 10 feet and you don't duck your head properly, it's still going to hurt. I don't know how many studies have been done on the brains of wrestlers for CTE. But you can't tell me that with some of the tragedies that have befallen these guys late in their lives, that there aren't a lot of them that have gone through it or are dealing with it now. Taking hard bumps for a really long time. But yeah, them not wanting or at least pushing Andre to get medical care, even from a, I felt that it was, even from a dastardly economic standpoint, was short-sighted. Instead of the, let's get one more match out of him, let's get him healthy, and then we get way more matches out of him. But I think there was a little bit of a short-sightedness from them, and honestly, like, it still goes on today. You don't work, you don't eat. We all know Daniel Bryan shouldn't be wrestling anymore. We know this, but he's out there. Because what else are you going to do? We'll take a break. If you want to jump back in, 312-644-6767 is the number. Hey, I got something to give you. I got something cool. I have a sports experience that I'm going to give you. And it might be a little bit different than what you're thinking, but it'll be a fun time. We'll do that next on The Score. As we're talking a little bit about Andre the Giant and the HBO special on him, of course, we'd have the person be like, dude, it's not a sport. Yeah, we're aware. We're aware it's not a sport. It is sports entertainment, though. And if you think that there isn't someone driving right now on 88 or 57 or 294 that doesn't enjoy this conversation, you're mistaken.
It's more of a sport than, like, NASCAR.
I would disagree with that.
I wouldn't.
Why?
That's my old thing. Give me 2 years to do something. If I can compete at the highest level, I'm in.
You think in 2 years you could be a professional NASCAR driver?
Easily.
Wow. Herbie, I don't mean to.
Easily.
I'm not trying to body shame, but.
Yeah, but still.
I'm thinking you can't even get into the car.
That's fine. That's the 2 years for.
Okay.
Because the actual driving is easy.
The driving parts you got down.
Yeah.
No problems there. It's just getting into the car.
What's the athleticism of that driving?
I mean.
Yes, it's grueling. Great.
It is. It's grueling. You're dehydrated. It's hot in that car.
So my life then. Okay.
Well, yes. Maybe that's how you would be able to get into the car. By becoming a NASCAR driver, you would lose, like,
hundreds of pounds, yes.
Absolutely, because you'd be sweating like nobody's business.
But otherwise, it's just fast driving, right?
Well,
tailing people.
There's strategy in it.
It's not a sport.
It's definitely a sport.
I would say wrestling's more of a sport. It's more athletic, definitely.
It's not as, I will say that NASCAR, especially in the last 4 years, not as popular.
Yeah. No one's really athletic and saying, you know what? Let me go to NASCAR. I know I'm gonna get the NASCAR stands to get me.
Well,
Dave White's out there pissed.
Well, here's the thing. You also have to. It's an expensive sport.
Yeah, you got to start when you're a kid.
Well, not necessarily, but you need someone to back you. Like, we got to get you in a car, train you. You're gonna wreck a couple of cars. It's a lot of money.
Imagine if you were a kid and you had a sponsor and you just did that until you're like 20, you wouldn't be a professional?
No, I'm not a great driver.
No matter how hard I try, and I did try, I couldn't have been a baseball player, I couldn't have been a football player, I couldn't have been a wrestler, any of this stuff. I couldn't have been a hockey player with all the training.
I actually think that you might have been able to be a wrestler.
No, with all the training in the world. It's plausible that with some training, and, you know, better body, I could have been a NASCAR driver.
I disagree with you.
It's easy. That's why no one watches.
No, but
people below I-80 are furious right
but,
now.
But I will say that I don't think there's a lot of them that's furious. Because that was supposed to be the sport of the future.
Yeah,
and they grew and grew and grew, and then poof, nothing.
I mean, one of their most popular drivers of all time, was that Dale Earnhardt Jr. guy?
Yes.
Not that good.
Wow.
What did he really win?
The blaspheming that is going on here.
He never won any of their championships. Never won a Winston Cup championship.
Wow.
Or sprint car, whatever they call the championship.
Remember when they were Nextel for a while?
Yeah.
Remember Nextel?
Like, he's like, didn't he like retire last year? And everybody's like, man, Dale Jr. is gone now. Sad. A guy who never won a championship. Imagine if Aaron Rodgers went his whole career without winning a championship and then retired. I'd be like, so? Get out of here. Like, when Matthew Stafford retires, I'd be like, all right, bye. I know Cole City over here is going to get mad at me, too.
I don't know if Chef's a big NASCAR guy.
It had to be Cole City.
That's
there's a lot of things to digest from Herb's NASCAR thoughts. One, shout out to Dave White. I'm sure he's wearing a Michigan shirt, his high white socks, and his jean shorts right now.
Oh.
So hope everything's well with Dave White, our guy. Yeah, picturing Herb getting into a NASCAR, that
rough.
Made my night.
It's rough.
And then I pictured Herb once he got into the NASCAR or the race car, and him talking about how hot it would be in there. All I could think of was Zawoski's wedding, where Herb did a hell of a NASCAR driver impression by sweating through the whole thing.
I get nervous when churches.
But Dale Earnhardt Jr., yes, he didn't win an actual series championship.
As an owner, he did four times.
But he also won the Daytona 500, which is the prize jewel of that sport.
How many times? It's the Super Bowl.
It's essentially like winning the Masters. How many times did he win that?
Like three times.
Oh, that's it. You know, biggest race on the calendar, biggest race on the schedule.
Congratulations. Why didn't he win the whole damn thing?
He won it twice.
Because Jimmy Johnson won the, whatever it's called, the chase for the cup every damn year.
He was cheating.
Probably. And doing PEDs, man.
Running people
Different
over.
Restrictor plate in that car.
All sorts of stuff. But no, Herbie, I don't think.
Well, then not me, then. Give me a, let me train a 15-year-old who's got a decent body to drive NASCAR, and now let me win the lotto, please. That'll be one
Herb
of my things.
Lawrence Racing Team.
Is that what you're going to do?
Yes.
You're going to win the lotto, and
I'm going to buy a racing team and then train like some kid just off the street, some young urban kid. I'm like, hey, drive this car around this track with like 200 miles per hour, like 100 laps.
Well, we saw that, and its name was Danica Patrick, and she didn't win a lot.
No, she didn't.
So.
No, but no one picked her off the street. She was racing when she was a child.
My point.
So she couldn't just go and win all the championships.
That's my point. I didn't say I could win. I could say I could compete at the highest level.
No, you
which
couldn't.
She did for years. Didn't she compete at the highest level for years? How long did Danica Patrick was in the
she
NASCAR?
She wasn't in NASCAR that long, was
for,
she?
Like, four I years. Think she was. I think she was in
she
NASCAR
a lot
for
of
like
IndyCar,
a, I think she was in NASCAR for like a decade.
Did she win an IndyCar race? I think she won an IndyCar race.
Maybe
their highest
did she
level.
Get second in the Indy 500 or
she
third
was
or
leading
something?
It 1 year. It was a huge story when she was leading it. I think she finished top four, or top five, maybe.
Her achievements, a lot of firsts for her, but not a lot of. Not a lot of NASCAR stuff.
She got one IndyCar win, seven podiums, three poles.
Seven top tens as a NASCAR driver.
Yeah.
Well, in the Monster Energy NASCAR series, and I guess that's the same thing. Oh, seven in the Xfinity series.
She raced 5 years in NASCAR. Xfinity series, whatever that is. And then, what is that? 8 years in the... Daytona in the NASCAR.
It's really strange that this is the thing that pushed your button.
I'm just saying, that guy saying that it's not sports. I was like, it's more sports than NASCAR, and we talk about that way too much here.
No, we don't. Nor should we.
We give the Daytona 500 winner.
Well, yes.
We give the Daytona 500 winner.
Yeah, like it's a something.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we also gave results of WrestleMania.
I was going to say when...
That's what I'm saying. WrestleMania is more important than the Daytona 500.
That's a different argument.
And it's more sports related.
If you want to make the argument that WrestleMania is more important than Daytona 500...
To what we do, yeah.
I might be interested in making that argument with you. But the idea that these guys aren't athletes is crazy.
Are they athletes?
Yes, they are.
Questionable.
You know what type of hand-eye coordination and strength it takes to control a car that's going that fast for that long?
I think if you made that argument 30 years ago, you could say they weren't as much athletes because they didn't put the brain power, they didn't train the same way they do now. Like, it's all about tip-top shape.
Yes.
I mean, whether it's the dehydration, dealing with that, the strength to drive 500 miles and stay interested, stay in tune and everything.
They're endurance athletes the same way that marathoners are, in my opinion.
Herb could train for a marathon his whole life, though, and go and win a marathon.
No, they're not. They're not endurance athletes.
They're not?
Because people who run marathons, they're actually training for this grueling thing by themselves. They're doing the work. The car is doing the work, and then they have other people helping them.
So does the car just drive by itself?
Yeah. No, it doesn't. But to drive a car, it's not that grueling. I understand it's hot in that place, and it's
you're going 150, 170, 190 miles an hour, but you're not on a Sunday stroll like you are
exerting
down
themselves.
290.
They are exerting themselves
by doing their own exercise. The car's doing the work. They're hot because they're in a hot place.
Who drives the car, Herb?
They drive the car, but
exactly.
They're not exerting their own energy to do that.
But they're pulling G's.
Okay.
They're pulling G's, and that takes a toll on the body.
We don't call Air Force pilots athletes. They pull G's.
I mean,
they're heroes. They do some great things, but we don't call them athletes.
They're not doing it for sport.
Yeah, but nobody questions what kind of shape an Air Force pilot's in.
Maverick and them were doing it for sport.
First of all, he was a Navy pilot.
Okay.
Not an Air Force pilot.
But
let's get that right.
They were doing it for sport. And then they got into some weird war at the end of the movie.
Yeah, we didn't quite know who exactly. Since we're doing the Top Gun thing. Don't you think it's weird? Like, don't you have some questions about our military? If they thought the
I thought you were going to say Top Gun. And the question, yes, I do have questions about Top Gun.
Well, yes, and I think this might be the first movie that we're going to try a new segment with Tony on. But don't you think it's weird that in this crisis that we had, they were like, you know who we need?
We need the two new guys.
The two guys that just graduated from Top Gun and the guy that kept getting shot down. In Top Gun.
Yeah, the guy that killed his partner.
Yeah, we need that to put him in a hostile situation with people that are trying to kill. And it wasn't quite clear, like, because, they're MiG, so it's clearly the Russians. But if it were the Russians, we would have been in a much bigger conflict. And it was just like, yeah, let's make Maverick the alert fighter. And I feel like there had to have been a pilot on that aircraft carrier already that was like, wait, who? How's his name already on the plane? And then poor Sundown when they're training.
Ridiculous.
But I figured it out. He was out. His problem, I tell you why he was mad. Because while he's doing that, he's also planning the Nakatomi job. And I can imagine the stress level for him was really high.
And
Chef's lost, and I love it.
It's the
same actor played Theo in Die Hard. So,
and
I was doing.
He's the one who wooed the girl. He was the one that was leading the singing.
Yeah, and he sang after they continued.
Got nothing
after they had lost that love and feeling. He kept singing
that love and feeling.
I hate when that happens. I hate when she does that. Yes,
I don't even look at the text lines. I mean, people are just gonna get weird.
No, people like you. People like you. This is the one thing that Chris Ranji in his whole life got right. You are either 100% right or 100% wrong. There's no middle ground with you.
And I'm glad to be 100% right on this one.
You are not 100%.
Which called Ranji on this one.
Oh, I'm sure Ranji has got some thoughts about NASCAR that he can't say in St. Louis.
Yeah, but he probably thinks they're athletes that drive the cars.
Yeah, it's not easy to drive a car for 500 miles with really no brake. It's hot and uncomfortable, and you're pulling G's. By the way, I wish people cared more about NASCAR because In when I've done national stuff, they're good interviews. The drivers are good interviews. They get that they have to sell their sport, and it is a sport. Tony, do you have a thought on this?
About NASCAR?
Yes. No. Is it a sport?
Yeah, I would say it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
sport. I'm going to go yes.
It's a sport. 630 Texer. Matt was the only pilot who went up against the MiG. You're right. I feel like he probably should have been court-martialed when he disengaged. Don't you leave me, Maverick!
Yeah, then he kept on buzzing the towers when they're telling him not to.
Yeah.
And then, eventually, like I said, he killed Goose.
Well, spoiler alert, Tony hasn't seen it. I guess we can now cross that off the list.
Thanks, Herb.
There's also a very, very homoerotic scene. They play like volleyball, Tony.
It's not just that. I mean, the whole movie.
Like,
I mean, there's clearly
like Rocky and
with them running on the beach.
Okay.
It's clear that there is some sexual tension between Maverick and Iceman. Clear as day. That weird scene where Iceman like bites at him, like it's so strange.
This guy wants me to go to Tom Petty School of Racing.
Tom Petty?
Yes, running down a dream, friends.
Oh, I will tell you though, this will help your argument. So it's not NASCAR, but it's open wheel. My wife, Mel, aka White Panther, went to the Mario Andretti school out in Joliet. First of all, she's a crazy driver. Secondly, you know, she kind of grew up in NASCAR country. She kind of grew up in a we drive fast on the back roads type country. So we were at an auction for CDAL, special education out in Lake County. And so I bought this thing for her. Her and her dad go drive. And she's ultra competitive and she's a crazy driver. And she was getting mad because there were a lot of men there that were like, women shouldn't be here and blah, 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 blah. Not knowing that she's a really good driver. So she set the record that day for miles per hour around the track. She got the car up to, I think, 158.3 miles per hour in the five laps that she did. She was exhausted after that. And that was 5 minutes. 5 minutes in the car. Think about 4 hours in a car doing that. You've got to be prepared. But I will say that a civilian jumped into an Indy car and quickly picked up, like they had the, it was a really cool experience because they had like the pit crew in her ear. And she had to negotiate that while she's driving the car. I was impressed. I was very impressed. That helps your argument a little bit, but it's still a sport. Back after this on The Score. Because Herbie got us all off track, I didn't get a chance to give you what I wanted to give you, which is a pair of tickets to go see the Chicago Wolves in a home playoff game. If you haven't been to a Wolves game at Allstate Arena, it's a lot of fun. You will have a good time, and it's playoff hockey. The only playoff hockey in town this year. So, if you're caller 6 to the Scores contest line, which is 312-591-6700, you will get a pair of tickets to go see the Wolves. I can't do the thing, but you'll get two tickets to go see a home playoff game with the Wolves. Have a good time, and don't be messing up in there. Don't be acting a fool. But go see the Wolves in a playoff game. You'll have a good time for it. Coming up on the show, the back half of our show is loaded up. Kelly Kroll is going to join us at 8 o'clock. We're going to talk to her about how the Cubs are handling these days off. Scott Merkin is going to join us at 8:40. Got to talk to him on the White Sox haven't played baseball since Thursday. It's so weird. Such a strange thing. And then 9 o'clock, we'll hear from Mark Gonzalez, who covers the Cubs. I might even throw in a little bit of football chatter with Gonzo, because he's on the low, a big-time football fan, like travels around and watches a lot of college football after the baseball season is over. So I might pick his brain about the draft. By the way, the Bears start off-season stuff tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe I'll go up to Hallis tomorrow. I'll see what's cracking. Or maybe not. I don't know. I don't know what the weather holds. Although Alicia just posted a forecast a little while ago. I tweeted it out at Lawrence W. Holmes. Or if you just want to just follow Alicia, Alicia Roman, NBC is where you can find it. But she put the forecast out there. Tomorrow it's going to be a little bit warmer and the sun will be out. Can I just say that that's been my biggest issue? I don't know if I have seasonal affective disorder, sad, or not. But my biggest issue is not that it's been cold. It has been cold and cloudy. I could actually even deal with if we were talking about 40 and 45 degree days where the sun was out. That would be helpful. This has just been, it's gloomy and then it's dark. It's gloomy and then it's dark. Looking at some of the text messages, there are some people who are upset with Herb. Send Herbie out there by himself and then with a real driver in the passenger seat, then come back and tell you they aren't athletes. Again, I think you getting in the car is a big issue here.
It is. 2 years, though.
2 years.
I'll be competing at least in that with that garbage league underneath the regular league.
The one with the trucks?
No, it's like regular NASCAR, but they're not as good, like the minor league system.
Oh, okay. You'll be good enough, but the trucks is below that, and I think that's where you...
I'll kill that, too.
Okay. All right. That's right. You know that the Dax McCarty, who we had in here from the Chicago Fire, the soccer team, not the television show, his dad was here, and his dad is a Top Gun. And I love how they like casually mentioned that after the interview is over. And I think Dar is still following me, his dad. And I said, the next time Dax comes back here, I don't even want to interview him. I want to interview you. And like, then you ever, like, you can kind of tell military guys, especially like older military guys, like people that spent their career in the military, you can tell, like their posture is like impeccable. They carry themselves a certain way. And I was like, oh yeah, it totally makes sense that you were a Top Gun. Because you're just chill. Nothing fazes you. Why? Because people with $30 million planes have been trying to shoot you out of the air. You're a gangster. We'll take a break. When we come back, our friend Kelly Kroll will join us. We'll talk Cubs baseball with her next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.